In the gospel story, Jesus presents the question of who is in God's good graces, who is in the kingdom of God, who is accepted, who is not, and who are we going to meet in heaven, and who are in our midst responding to God's invitation to be part of his loving family here on earth. We are not the judges and the jury, because we do not have full knowledge of what's in people's hearts, but we do make judgments, and we do evaluate the actions of other people, and are they really responding to God's invitation or not? Are they part of the kingdom of God or not, or are we? But good thing we're not the ultimate judge. And Jesus has some harsh words for those chief priests and elders who did not respond to the call of John the Baptist. He said, you heard, but you did not believe. In other words, you didn't respond with that conversion that needed to take place in your hearts. And he says, and those public sinners, those one we cast down and looked down on, the tax collectors and the prostitutes, when they listened, they were led to repentance and conversion, and so did God's will entering the kingdom of God. And he makes it very, very blunt. In that gospel story, that first son is praised. The one who said to his father, nope, I won't go into the vineyard. I'm going to disobey you. And then eventually did and had that change of heart. And we don't know how difficult it was for him, what process he went through to change his mind and his heart, but he did. And the second son just pays lip service. Says, sure, I'm ready. I'll go into the vineyard. I'll follow your orders. But couldn't convert that initial yes to action, and it didn't change his heart. But simply, on the surface level, he was living. So we are to be imitators, of course, of the first son, aren't we? And throughout our lives, we are in a constant state of, first of all, hearing God in our lives and responding wholeheartedly, and not just lip service. In the example that the scriptures give us today of who do we follow in this response to the Father's invitation is Christ Jesus himself. And in that beautiful hymn to the Son of God that is included in the letter to the Philippians, it just every time I hear that, I almost get goosebumps. That this Son of God humbled himself, even though he was God, to be one with us. He not only humbled himself to become a human being, but humbled himself to the point of giving up that life itself, that even that human life, to die on the cross. And it is difficult. And yet that is what the Lord is asking of us, to make a sacrifice in order to convert, to change things in our life that we need changing. And Jesus on the cross gave up his very breath. I remember having a fell from one floor down to the next floor, the basement floor, and had the wind knocked out of me. And I didn't know what I was doing. My whole body said, take a breath. It was instinct. We want to live. We don't want to give up life, even on the physical level, much less make a sacrifice of our life for someone else. We call them martyrs. And none of us have had to do that yet, although day by day we give up ourselves for others. But that basic instinct is to preserve myself as it is and not to make a change. So conversion, changing, give up our own wills for for the sake of what God wants us to do is difficult. It goes against our human nature. And that change that God wants us to make, that conversion, is perhaps changing our minds of the ideas that we have that are not God's ideas. Those bad habits that we have, those little addictive behaviors we have, that, oh, I just can't change that, even though it's not good for me. To change those innate prejudices that we have, to give up those things that make me comfortable in this life, that interfere with God's plan for me. We can say yes with our voices, but the follow-up is the challenge. And it takes a lifetime with God's help, with his courage, with his virtues. Day by day, we can slowly turn away from the comfort of life, prejudices of life, towards God's plan and God's ways.